Okay, good evening. So this is essentially a continuation of the last year we had in Hilchot Shabbat, which I think was 3 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. Last week was Purim, the week before we had the Purim Sugyus, so the week before was Hilchot Shabbat. And we were dealing there with the essential question of Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul or Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, where we established that in principle, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and just there was a machloket in Rishonim how exactly to apply that. Did we say that applied only to Davar Yavesh, or it also applied to Davar Lach? And we saw the Mechaber Paskund that it applies only to Davar Yavesh, and we saw Rama at the end of the Siman, who indicated that to a certain degree, in Siftet Vav, that it applies also to Davar Yavesh. We had the question whether the Rama was essentially being Mekel, but was being a bit Machmir to conform to the Chashash of the Machaber, or was he essentially being Machmir, but was being Noter a little bit Lahakel. But in any event, we saw that the Rama, to a certain degree, did apply it to Davar Lach as well. But essentially, there's no problems whatsoever with Bishul Achar Bishul if it's Davar Yavesh. The big question is, how are we going to define Davar Yavesh? Meaning, to what degree does something have to be dry? So, you know, classic example would be, you know, I've got a piece of chicken that I've boiled in my soup, or a carrot that I've boiled in my soup, that's fully cooked. I've taken it out. I've now left it to drain and dry for 24 hours. So it's really, it's totally dry. I've put it into the airing cupboards for 24 hours. It's now a dry, dried out carrot. That is Davar Yavesh. I know that Davar Lach is a bowl of soup. Okay, but what about something which is somewhat Lach, somewhat Yavesh, etc., etc.? So predictably, there's a machloket. I want to look at a couple of shitot on this point. Start off with the tshuva of Rav Avadia Yosef in Yechaveh Da'at. So Rav Avadia says, starts off by flagging up for us the machloket Rishonim as to whether it applies to only Davar Yavesh or it applies also to Davar Lach. He says that the Rambam and the Rashba and the Ran hold that it also applies to Davar Lach. And then about five lines down, six lines down, he says, "Umachashi machloket v'sufara halacha k'divrei ha'osrim belach." He quotes the Shulchan Aruch that we've seen. Tavshul shirim bashel kol tzor kovin itztanei yish bo mishum bishul b'shabbat v'asol lechamem o b'shabbat ba'med v'arim arum tavshul yish bo marak aval tavshul yavesh mutal l'shotom b'chamem b'shabbat. Now the question is, as I said, what is the definition of Davar Yavesh, Davar Lach? Mevuava Yosef b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah v'Rabbeinu Yerucham. So the Beit Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Yerucham. Shelo nikra tavshil lach l'inyan zeh, ela k'sherubo rotev umarak. Only if it's mainly liquid, if it's mainly the sauce and the gravy. Aval tavshil shel basar odagim, yishbo k'tzat rotev v'shuman. If it's meat or fish or whatever it is, and there's a bit of rotev v'shuman, then there's no problem of bishul achar bishul. So this is, we're going to think about it in a moment, on the face of it, this seems to be a big chiddush. Sorry? No, okay. Right, just talking to somebody else. So why is this a big chiddush? In terms of, our question is, well, what have I got? I've got, say, a good example would be a ratatouille. I've got a ratatouille, which has got vegetables in, and a lot of sauce as well. But it's mainly vegetables which are cooked. And the sauce has also been cooked. But when I heat it up, what's happening? I'm heating up the vegetables and the sauce. It's all heating up. At the end of the day, whether I look at Rov or Miut, I'm heating up liquid there. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, will address this in Igrot Moshe and ask exactly this question. But, you know, it does seem to a certain degree counterintuitive to say that just because it's mainly one thing, that the pu'ula of Bishul is not happening to the other thing. The pu'ula of Bishul is happening. The liquid is being heated up. I mean, one could sort of look at the Lashon, you know, carefully and perhaps ask the question. There seems to my mind to possibly be a slight difference between the term Kesherubo Rotev Umarak, the Yishbuk Ketzat Rotev Veshuman. So Ketzat Rotev Veshuman might be different to Sherubo Yavesh. That rotev might mean, you know, sort of, you know, there's 5%, 10% liquid there. You know, you can't get rid of all the liquid. But, you know, it's sort of very interesting to think that, you know, I could have something which is 55% solid, 45% liquid, or even 51, 49, and that would still be mutter. But that's exactly what Rav Avadia is saying. And that's his conclusion.
Sorry.
Yeah.
How do we classify fat that is solid in its...
Okay, so we'll come to that later on, but essentially we would regard it as being a liquid. So it's going to liquefy. There's going to be a discussion about solid which becomes a liquid. So we'll come to that. But we've got to, when we discuss the question of sugar and salt and fat, that will come up. So this is how Rav Avadia paskens.
It's just a question. I don't know how it's realistic, but hypothetically, that's it, 50-50 exact.
If it was 50-50 exact, then it wouldn't be a Rav, which is Yavesh. You need a Rav, which is Yavesh, not 50-50.
It has to be one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's how Rav Avadia paskens. And certainly the Achronim of the Ashkenazim don't seem to pasken that way. If we look at Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he addresses exactly this point of Rabbeinu Yerucham. We actually skimmed over this in the Shulchan Aruch last time, but if you look in Seif Dalad, right at the very beginning, Shin Yud Chet. Then the Rama says, it's only a problem of bishul, okay, if it's mitstamek viafelo, meaning it's drying out and improving. But if it's not drying out and improving, then it's not a problem of bishul. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Kafei, Avalim Itztamik V'ralo Mutala Haniach Samuch Limdura, Afilu B'machon She'asol Lepo, V'ayim B'vach She'pasak Kisvara HaRishon, Ad Ein Chiluk Baze V'chein Mashma V'vio HaGra. So it seems we don't pasken that way. But there is a view that if it's Davalach, but it's Mitztamik V'ralo, i.e. the heating process certainly isn't improving it, or is injurious to it, detrimental to it, then it's not a problem. So this is what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests might be behind Rabbeinu Yerucham. If it's mainly rotev, then why are you putting it on the kira? You're putting it on the kira for the rotev. And therefore, lachenim hutzolein v'gamit stamet v'yafelo yesh bishul achabishul. Masha enkin shemutor rotev rubo ochel yafesh. But if it's mainly solid and there's a bit of liquid, v'ikar apula naaseh bishul haochel hayafesh, de'en bo bishul achir bishul, v'lachenim choshishin lahamiyut k'motzi et achay b'mitah. We've got a din. If a person carries out a dead person, there's a question. You carry out a dead person on a stretcher. You carry out a live person on a stretcher. If you carry out a live person on the stretcher, we've got a din that chay noseh et atzmo. So you're not going to be chayev on the person. We'll have a whole share on that in due course. And we also say you're not chayev on the mitah, on the stretcher. Because the stretcher is batel to the person. So he's suggesting that with other malachot as well, something is batel, then you don't need to worry. So it might be here, there's got two considerations. Number one, where it's just a bit of rotev, maybe it's batel. And number two, the consideration that with mitstamek v'ralo, that if you've only got a little bit of gravy there, then in actual fact, the fact that it's heating up, that's mitstamek v'ralo, it's not good for it. Meaning, if I've got a pot of soup, then I want to heat it up, the whole thing's improving. If I got something with a bit of gravy, what's happening to the gravy? The gravy's actually drying out.
I don't want that.
Okay? And that's v'ralo. The point is, though, of course, I would see a significant distinction between a bit of gravy and a lot of gravy. Meaning that I could see if I've got a bit of chicken and it's been in the gravy on Friday night and I take it out of the gravy Shabbat day and it's still a bit moist. So the gravy's drying up on it as I put it next to the sofa on the platter, whatever it is. And that's ralo. That's not benefiting it in any way. But if it's a ratatouille or something like that, then in that case it would be mitzamek v'tovlo. It's improving because I want the whole ratatouille to be warming through.
But then we don't look at the majority, as long as
I'm suggesting that you wouldn't. It seems that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is combining two considerations here, but even where it's, you know, what he's saying is in terms of I've got rov and miut, but his consideration for rov and miut is whether I'm not really interested in the miut in terms of I'm carrying a live person out of from one rosh to another on Shabbat, right? I'm the stretcher is batel to the person because I'm really interested in getting the person out. I'm not interested in the stretcher at all. Mm-hmm. Right. So therefore, I can understand if I've got chicken, which is in a bit of gravy, right, and I warm it up, so I can say two things there. I can say, number one, the bit of gravy is batel to the big piece of chicken. I'm not interested in it's inconsequential mm-hmm. to me. Number two, I can also say that the gravy is mitstamek v'ralo. Heating it up actually isn't improving the gravy at all. It's just going to go sticky. It's not going to help at all. So that will work with a piece of chicken that's a bit moist. I don't think it will help with a ratatouille, which the ratatouille is, say, 75% solid and 25% liquid. In that case, I want the liquid to warm up. I don't just want warm vegetables in a cold liquid. I want a warm ratatouille. That's what I'm trying to achieve. So I can't say that the liquid is batel. And I also can't say that the liquid is mitstamek v'ralo. So this would seem to be a distinction, important distinction between Rav Avadia and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Avadia is quite simply saying, if it's rov yavesh, then that's good enough. It doesn't matter, ratatouille would be fine to heat it up. Whereas Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, whilst he's not rejecting Rabbeinu Yerucham, but I think he's limiting it and saying, yeah, it'll only apply where it's a small, inconsequential amount of rotev. Now let's look at what Rav Moshe says in Igrot Moshe, Chelek Dalet Simanayin Dalet. So he asks about Ochel Sherubo Yavei Shemitah Lach. He says, "Hinei lo muvan chinuk bein rov lach lemiut lach." Me'achada miut halach yitbashel kishut sonen. The question which I flagged up earlier on, that at the end of the day, it's still going to be heated up. Asher kenu hekreach lefaris kumashmos aprim megadim. The berov whom its stomach yafel over miut whom its stomach vralo. Shelachen yesh le'esok hevin derabim pligi al arama. So in any event, we don't accept the it would only work if we accept the premise of there not being a problem of bishulach arbishul with mitztamek v'ralo, and we don't pass them like that. So it's not going to help us at all. So that's essentially what Rav Moshe says. And he says it's meira heira'ui lahachmir. So I would see a significant difference again between something which has a significant amount of rotev, something which has a very small amount of rotev. If it's got a significant amount of rotev, then Ashkenazim, so the ratatui, Ashkenazim wouldn't eat up. I believe Sfardim hold like Rav Avadya in this regard. I don't know about all Sfardim. But Ashkenazim wouldn't say that. If it's got a small amount of rotev, a piece of chicken which is, you can't get all of the juice off it. So according to Rav C. Pesach Frank, that would be all right. According to Rav Moshe, it's Ra'ui Lahachmer. He seems to think that one should be machmer.
If he looks at basically the rotev as something that is harsher for him, even if it's nice, but he doesn't really need that, he just wants the chicken, then the rotev is kibbutz butter.
It's butter. Whereas Rav Moshe's flagging up the point, at the end of the day, you're heating up the rotev. Mm. Why should you say it's butter? So one of the, there's also, the question, it's pointed out by the Achronim, Rav Moshe flags this up a little bit. Just a moment. We spoke last time about the tea leaves. Right, so we spoke, the Mishnah Berurah said the best way to make tea on Shabbat is that you've poured hot water on the tea leaves before Shabbat and mixed them around, and then you drain it off, and then on Shabbat, so you can pour hot water on again. Makes the observation that, it's very possible, the tea leaves haven't necessarily totally dried out. They're still a little bit moist. Now, maybe a little bit of moisture wouldn't be a problem. I have a raya from a Mishnah Berurah. On that, which I can't put my finger on just at the moment. Okay, so that was the first very important thing to deal with. Now, I want to go on with a related issue, and this is the question of, is there such a thing as bishul achar afia? Meaning, I understand that there's ein bishul achar bishul, but is there bishul achar afia? So I've baked something. Classic example would be bread or matzah. And this is a big question. Can you put matzah in your chicken soup on working on Pesach when it's Shabbat? Yom Tov wouldn't be a problem, unless you machmir on kibrots. But for those of us who aren't, so could you put matzah in the chicken soup on Friday night? Can you put challah into your chicken soup? So let's look at a Yerayim. The Yerayim says as follows. Chol davar shenitbashel or nefa kol tzoko, something which has been cooked properly. Lachziro b'kli rishon l'chamomor l'itno b'tzad ha'or, mutar. So if it's been cooked, you can put it back into a Kli Rishon. If it's been nerfa, it's been baked, you can put it, but Tzad Ha'or, it's going to be permitted. Shekol davar shenitbashel or naaseh kol tzorko, ein bo mishum bishul, shein bishul achar bishul. If it's been properly processed, then that's it. It's done. And this is the whole principle of ein bishul. I mean, there's no chiddush there. But yesh bishul achar tzri, yesh tzri achar bishul. So, essentially the question is, are we looking at the individual processes which are the food is undergoing, or are we looking at it, it's been heat treated, as it were? I once saw a comedy sketch, I can't remember who it was, but they described, you know, roast chicken as something like heat treated dead hen or something like that. But the point is that that's what you've done. So heat treated, because it sounds less appealing that way, but heat treated can mean a number of things. It can mean that it's mufushal, it can mean that it's salui, it can mean that it's been fried, tigun, whatever you like. So yes, the Yireim is saying yesh bishul achar tzliv, yesh tzli achar bishul. These are different processes. So therefore, there is tzli achar bishul. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim. Tzla'o v'achar kach bishlo chayav. Talking about the Korban Pesach. This is good because we're in Shloshim Yom of Pesach. So with the Korban Pesach, it has to be tzli esh. So what if it was roasted and then you cooked it in liquid? And then you ate it. So you're going to be chayev, because you ate it, not as tzliesh. Umetama tamuda, so the Gemara's surprised, amai hatzliashen. It was roasted. Amar avkana, hamani rabbi yosihi, detanya yotzim baraki kasharui, uvim mevushal, sheloni moach divrei rabbi meir. So rabbi meir says that with as far as matzah is concerned, if it's been soaked, or even if it's been cooked, provided it hasn't disintegrated your yotzei. But Rabbi Yossi Omer Yotzim Baraki Kasharui, you can, if you soak your matzah, that's all right. Aval lo bimavushal, afal pishelonimach. But if it's been cooked, even if it hasn't disintegrated, you can't have it. Perish gabi matzah lechem kativ. Because matzah has to be a form of lechem. So it needs to be baked, not cooked. So when you cook it, it's now mevushal. So this is the point, and he says we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. So the point of the Yireim is that seems that the later process either undoes the previous process or supersedes the previous process. Seems to be a bit of a discussion in the Achronim, which one it is, whether it's undoing it or superseding it. For our purposes, we don't need to worry about which one it is, that there presumably are nafkaminas, but this is certainly what's happening. So now, it was mevushal, and now I come and cook it in dry heat, I'm now doing tzli to it. It's a different process. Okay? I'm doing tzli to it. The fact that it was mevushal and the fact that it's edible is not relevant to me. So that's the view of the Yireim. In actual fact, most Rishonim disagree. Shabbat Mati Miretz and the Rav Yah, says Shamati Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz. Okay, the Yireim. Yesterday I met at Mariv in Shul here, the chief rabbi of Mitz, an heir to the seat of the Yireim. Shayel Meim Bishlach HaBishul B'Shabbat, it's number Eish Perek Chavit, Kol Shev B'Bachamim B'nei HaShabbat, Medikin Oso B'Chamim Shabbat. V'chein Ein Afiyach HaFiyah B'Shabbat, Aval Yesh Afiyach HaBishul, Yesh Bishlach HaFiyah. Non Yishrot Lechem B'Rotach. V'ein Anu B'Kiyim In Gam B'Kli Sheini Mi'bar Shel Shari Nechel K'Chamim B'Davah L'Gabay Tavlim Melech. We'll come to that. The penultimate line is really what we're interested in. V'lav miltahi. Don't agree with it. It's not right. So he says, no, the Gemara Masechet Brachot limits Rabbi Yossi to be talking about matzah, because matzah, it needs to taste like matzah. If it's been cooked in liquid, it no longer tastes like matzah. As opposed to, for bread, for hamotzi, not interested what in that consideration. Doesn't need to particularly taste like bread. So the Ravya and most Rishonim hold that just as they're ein bishul achar tzli, and vice versa. Meaning it's all, presumably, it's all been heat treated. It's, you know, a bit like we discussed a couple of weeks ago, a question of things that don't need bishul. Things which can be eaten as they are, perfectly well, they don't need bishul. Therefore, we said you're not chayav on them. So this might be the same notion. In terms of, I've cooked my chicken, fine, I might prefer it roasted, but it's still perfectly edible. It's not a raw chicken any longer. And therefore, further heat treatment doesn't do anything to it. If we look in the tour, so he quotes the Yerayim, and says as follows. Now the Torah is adding something. The Torah is saying that from the Uraim. The Uraim says, you can't put it even in a klisheni. Right? So, this would be your bowl of soup on your table. You took the soup from the kli rishon, from the pot which was on the stove, and you put it into your soup bowl. That's the kli sheni. You now can't put bread in. But the Torah says, "Tema lama should be kli sheni." I don't understand why it's a problem in kli sheni. But I have shad medami leinu melech to kama bigmar lechad lishne shemivashel asfaril be kli sheni. So he says that, oh, well, there is a view in the Gemara that certain things will cook in a klisheni. But he says, I don't think it's right to say you can't put it in a klisheni. There are those who say that if we take the Urayim to its full conclusion, you'd even have a problem of Sliachar Sliyan Afiya, who cut a shafil dvaravin afiya, velot Sliachar Sliyan, but that's not true at all. So, what we've introduced here before we look at the Shulchan Aruch, I want to think a little bit about the issue of Kli Sheni. In terms of what we established till now, we said was Kli Rishon is Mavashel. You put something in a Kli Rishon that's that's cooking it. We haven't really addressed Kli Sheni. There's a question whether or not Kli Sheni is Mavashel. And it comes up in this Sif. So let's look at the Gemara and Daf Mem Amud Bet.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he says that according to, we learn from the Yerim that there is a fiyah.
Correct.
And they too want to say that understanding from the rain that if you put a piece of challah, let's say on your bowl of chicken soup, yeah, it would be you would have in this case a bishul chalafiyah.
Correct.
Okay, but that's not according to the rain. According to just my understanding, according to the Ravia, we wouldn't have a problem.
Correct. The Ravia said it wouldn't be a problem. Yes,
he would say he would tell you that the Gemara doesn't apply to Shabbat only for Pesach. I just want to see if I understand.
So. What?
They're
not interested. Forget Pesach.
Now the Gemara which he brings before.
Oh, I see. Sorry, it's talking only about matzah. Yeah, it's only talking about matzah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. So Okay, good morning, Dachmen. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdumi, Pamachat Nichnasli Achar Rebbe Levet HaMerchatz. I followed Rebbe into the bathhouse. V'kashi Laniach Lo Pach Shel Shemen Bambati. I wanted to put a pach, a beaker of shemen, into the hot water. I think means immerse the beaker in like this. I think it means like that, rather than pour the oil into the water. I think it means immerse the beaker like that. V'amali told be klisheni. So he said, no, it's got to be in a klisheni. Transfer the water from the ambati, which is very, very hot, into a klisheni, and that will be permissible. V'ten shama, and v'ten, and do it. Shema min atlat, so we learn three dinim. Yeshbo, shemen yeshbo mishum bishul. Shema min aklisheni enu mevashel. So there is a concept of bishul with shemen. We won't get into that question now. There's a question whether there's bishul with shemen and to how we apply it. Kli sheni is not mevashel. And even if you only take the chill off something, it can sometimes be bishul. I mean, that was the kuliyat ha'ispanin that we learnt about the first time. So Tosfot there says, Shema mina kli sheni mevashel, tema maishna kli sheni mikli rishon. Why do I care about the kli? And this is a big question. Why is it, why should it be, that kli sheni is not mevashel? Generally speaking, we'll see that it's really a question whether we generally say that kli sheni is mevashel or isn't mevashel. And certainly in some cases, kli sheni isn't mevashel. In some cases, klisheni is mevashel. The question is, what do we regard as the ikka? But why, in some cases at least, should klisheni not be mevashel? If it's yad soledet, di yad soledet afil klisheni nami, v'yein yad soledet afil klirishon nami enu mevashel. V'yesh lomar, so this is very important, tefish et klisheni rishon, mitoch she'amad al ha'or, dof notav chamin u'machazit chumo zman meruba. L'kach na'znu bo shiur t'kol zman she'yad soledet bo asor. This is, I think, basic physics. I didn't get past basic physics, so I think it's certainly not advanced physics. Basically, with our klisheni, if I pour a hot liquid into my klisheni, the walls of the kli will absorb some of the heat, meaning there's a limited amount of heat that's there. Right? What's happening to that heat? As soon as I pour it into the klisheni, some of that heat will be transferred into the walls of the kli, and the thing will immediately be cooling down. It will immediately be cooling down because you've extracted some of the heat from it. The liquid won't absorb any heat from the walls. Whereas if it's a kli rishon that was on the stove. So this kli rishon has absorbed heat from the fire. And then when I turn the fire off or I remove it from the stove, where's the heat from that's in the metal walls of the kli going to go? It's going to be absorbed into the food, into the liquid. So it's, and even if it's not really absorbed, it's certainly, you know, because they might both, you know, they're both hot. Whatever it is, but it's certainly not going to be drawing off heat from the liquid. And therefore, there's still the notion of bishul. That's the point. I mean, you know, if you cook something on a, you know, in a pot on the stove, right? And then you turn it off, right? And it'll still carry on cooking for a long time. Whereas, if you transfer it into a klisheni, I'd carry on cooking somewhat, but it's going to cool off much, much faster than it will otherwise. The point that also klisheni, by definition, it's not giving anything to what's in the kli. It's drawing heat away from it. So it's the reverse of cooking. A klisheni, by definition, is cooling something down. So therefore, you put something into a klisheni, you're putting it into a liquid which is being cooled down, rather into a liquid which is either still getting hotter or at least retaining its heat.
Yeah, in fact, interesting, from a cooking point of view, there are some dishes that you should turn on at the end of the cooking process. You should turn off, let's say, the gas, and then you finish the cooking by, let's say, adding another egg, whatever it is. I'm just giving an example in Italian dish here. Yeah. You can only cook it on a clear ration for the first, let's say, minute or two after you turn off the pan, and if you move it to another pan, a cliché, you will never
right.
manage to cook it because of the
right.
heat.
Right. You want to let it sit, yeah. You know, exactly. Not adding heat to it, but on the... Right. So that's very, very important explanation, Tosfot, as to why it cools down, or why klisheni is not mavasha. Now, there is a question, though. Exam Tosfot themselves discuss this as to whether or not klisheni really is not mavashel. So if we look at the Tosfot on Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, it says kol she ba b'chamin mifnei hashabbat. That's the Gemara that we're familiar with. Perish in it bashel gamrik in first the kamin perik chavit. Kagon tanu golit Rabbi Abba. That was the chicken that was really well cooked. Shorin oto b'chamin afil kli rishon kol she lo ba etc. Medichin oto. Now, what did we say? Wanted to know what did medichin mean? And we touched on it a little bit last time. The perush, or the first time, the perush Rashba, the mafarish de irui kichli sheni ati shape. So the Rashba explained that medichin means you can rinse it off in hot water. I can pour hot water from my kettle over whatever it is. Because irui is like klisheni, meaning once it's not in the pot any longer, the pot that it was cooked in, it's got a din of klisheni. I don't know if you've covered this yet in Issa v'Heta and Basa v'Chalav. Have you the din of irui? Have you covered it? No. So it's the parallel sugyas in Yoredah. Is irui kli rishon? Is it like kli rishon? Is it like klisheni, or is it somewhere in between? Now, misvara, you can say, either way, you could say, misvara, it's like klisheni, because it's, what's the inyan of a klirishon? A klirishon is that there's something which is preserving its heat. Once I'm pouring it, it's no longer preserving its heat. On the other hand, I could say it the other way round, and say, no, what's the inyan of klisheni? I've got something which is cooling it down, something which is drawing off the heat. And in this, with irui, I haven't got something which is drawing off the heat. In any event, the Rashba says irui is like klisheni, i.e. because there's nothing still heating it up or retaining its heat. Ati shaper hacha da'ein shori noto b'kli rishon, aval medichi noto m'kli rishon derech irui. You can pour over it. Aval aperish rabbeinu tam, the mafarish de irui havi kli rishon. Rabbeinu Tam says it the other way around. He says, no, seeing as there's nothing which is cooling it down, therefore it must be like a kli rishon. Al korchech medichin oto mikli sheni ka'ama. When he says medichin oto, you're rinsing it off, he must mean that you're rinsing it off from a kli sheni. Ve'im kein, now Tosot says, I'm stuck though, according to Rabbeinu Tam, because why would you need to rinse it from a klisheni? Ma'iri medichin, afilu shorin nami. Because if klisheni is not mavashel, then why do I need to rinse it off from a klisheni? I can just immerse it in the klisheni, and that should be enough. V'omeri, afilu klisheni ain shorin. Oh, you can't put it in the klisheni. Why? Now this is a term that we're going to come across in a number of contexts, very important concept of mechsi kemavashel. It seems like you're doing bishel. This is the point, what's it saying? That really, klisheni is not mavashel. But when I do the pu'ula of immersing something in a bowl of, or a pot of hot water, it looks like I'm cooking it. You can't tell. There's no, just to the eye, if I've got a pot there, and it steam's coming out of it, You've got no way of knowing whether that was a kli rishon or a kli sheni, and this chicken or this vegetable that I'm putting in, you've got no idea whether this is into a kli rishon and there's bishul, or into a kli sheni and there's not bishul, and therefore we say that it's prohibited. And that's why it would have to be Irui from cliché.
Sorry, can I just ask, why don't we then say the same thing with cliché? Why wouldn't we say an issue with Nesik and Ravasha or with cliché?
Okay, so that's a good question. That's a good question. So I can think of two possible answers. Answer number one is, or possibly three answers. Answer number one is that might be that, you know, once it's in a cliché, there's not much steam coming off it any longer. Now, as opposed to the kli rishon and kli sheni, maybe it's still steaming. Answer number two is that it's very possible that the type of kli that is used as a kli shlishi is very different from a kli sheni, meaning, or a kli rishon, rather. In terms of your kli rishon will always be a saucepan. Your kli shlishi will always be a bowl. Right? Now, the kli sheni might be a saucepan, might be a bowl. You know, that's not going to be clear. You know, for example, if I'm using a kli sheni to transport my soup, you know, I've got a big thing of soup, I want to transfer it into some sort of tureen. And so I might have a ceramic tureen, or I might have a metal tureen that could really be a pot. It's just, you know, I've got a big, enormous pot of soup, you know, for, you know, 50 people. I take it off the stove, and now I want to serve it at the table, so I bring a whole load of saucepans, scoop up the soup from the... now it's in a cliché, and carry it to the table. The other possibility is, it's not entirely clear what mechseik and mevashel means. Is mechseik and mevashel looking at the maaseh or the totsah? In terms of, if it's looking at the maaseh, then your question might stump us. If it's looking at the totsah, then less so. In terms of the totsa'a, the result between putting my carrot or my chicken into a kli sheni and a kli rishon isn't going to be so radically different. But if I put it into a kli shlishi, right, I've got my chicken, right? My raw chicken with a risk of salmonella. Right, so I put it into the kli rishon and leave it there for an hour. My wife will just about let me eat it afterwards. Right? Probably you won't get salmonella. Right? If I put it into the kli sheni, she won't let me eat it, but I'll tell her it's fine. I'm not worried. When I put it into the kli shlishi, even I know that it's not hot enough to kill the salmonella. It's not, in terms of the totsah, is very different. So I think that's that's the point.
Rabbi,
yes.
Why would air not have the same effect as the defanot of a kli?
Because the defanot are actively extracting the heat as opposed to just not containing it.
Whereas the air would do the same thing.
Correct. You've got the defanot are absorbing, you know, absorbing the heat. The heat is being drawn off.
The air is gaseous, but still, it's interacting with something else.
So yeah.
The car would have a similar effect.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Rishon didn't look at it like that. You know, that's exactly the question. You know, in terms of, they were looking, you've got the hot walls which are preserving the heat, or the cold walls which are drawing off the heat, and then you've got somewhere in the middle, and we want to know what the din will be. In any event, Tosfot's first answer is that it's, that essentially, kli sheni is not mevashel, but we've got a concern of mechseik and mevashel. V'afar gavdi t'nana kamavon otzin l'tocha kara l'tocha tamchui. Fine, we'll deal with that in a couple of weeks' time. The din of Tavlin being put into a klisheni. Inami, Tosfot's second answer. This is important, these two answers in Tosfot. Who had in Shorin Oto? Actually, you could immerse it. Kevin Dairibi klisheni. because we're talking about the klisheni. V'hadanakat medichin, the reason why we say medichin, lashminan da'afilu hadacha havya gemar malacha b'meliach hayasham v'kul yusei ispanin. So tell us that even if you were to do hadacha from klisheni, there could be cases where it would be a problem. So the two answers in Tosfot, essentially we've got Tosfot is maskim that klisheni is not mavasha. Has to be maskim because that's what the Gemara on Daf Mem said. Question is whether we've got a consideration of mechse kemavashel with klisheni. First answer in Tosfot is there is a problem with mechzek and mevashel. Second answer is that there isn't. So we'll talk a lot more about klisheni in due course, but it comes up now in Ask If in Shulchan Aruch. Want to move fairly swiftly, but we should manage to get this done. Look at If Hay now in Shulchan Aruch. Yesh mi she'omed davar she'ne'efa o nitzla, im bishlo achar kach b'mashke, yesh bo mishum bishul. Right? So that is the view of the Yerayim. Yesh bishul achar tzliya. That's the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. V'aso litein pat, afilu b'klisheni shayad soletet bo. And you, even in a klisheni, if it's yad soletet, you can't put bread in. So this is being strict in two regards. It's being strict, number one, to say there's bishul achar tzliya, or achar afia. And number two, to say there's a problem of bishul in klisheni. V'yesh matirin. However, there are those who are mekel and say that you can. Now the Rama says, bit klisheni, meaning there are those who are makel with klisheni, but not in kli rishon. And then he says, yesh makilin afilu bit kli rishon. You can even do it in a kli rishon. Why could you say? The one that says yesh matirin bit klisheni is because there's bichlal no problem of bishul in a klisheni. But they still presumably hold, like the Yerayim, that yesh bishul achar tzliya. There are those who say you can even put it in the bread into a kli rishon. Why could you do that? Because they hold, like the Ravya and most rishonim, that ein bishul achar tzliya. V'nagu lizahel chatchila shelo litein pat afilu b'kli sheni. So the minag is to be careful chatchila not to put bread into the kli sheni. Kol zman shayad tzor let it put. So we'll deal that just in a moment. So, the first thing to flag up is we have a big question as to what the Mechaber holds. Does the Mechaber hold like the Ravya or like the Urayim? Now we've got a klal, generally, if you've got Yesh Omrim and Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch, halacha is like the second Yesh Omrim. So the first Yesh Omrim is the Shita of the Urayim. There is a problem of Bishul Achar Afia. Now Yesh Matirin, we won't look at it inside because we haven't got time. I brought you down from Rav Avadia, Tshuva, right? Rav Avadia says, stop the Mechaber there. Right? Yesh Matirin means Yesh Matirin even in a Kli Rishon, meaning there's no problem of Bishul, Achar Afia. And Rav Avadia holds that's how the Mechaber paskens, and therefore that's how he paskens. Right? Because Yesh Matirin, Bichlal, and if you look in the Ber HaGola, Sivkatan Kaf, he says that's the Mordechai b'Shabbat b'Shem Ravya, right? The Shita of the Ravya, as opposed to the Shita of the Urayim. However, many Achronim, and I think this is the way the Mishnah Berurah learns it, I think most Achronim learn it, that no, the Ramah is explaining the Mechaber. He's not arguing with the Mechaber. V'yesh matirin bikli sheni, that's what the Mechaber means. Right? This is the question, is there, Rav Avadia will hold that the Ramah is arguing against the Mechaber. Right? The Yesh Matirin, the Ramah says, yeah, not in a Kli Rishon, only in a Kli Sheni. Whereas the Mishnah Berurah thinks Yesh Matirin, but Kli Sheni, the Ramah is explaining, this is what Mechaber means. Matirin, Kli Sheni, but nobody is Matir in a Kli Rishon. So Rav Avadia holds that, because he holds like the Rav Yah. He says that's what Mechaber holds. Ashkenazim certainly, Paskan, not like that. And so say Lechatchila, you need to be careful even in a Kli Sheni, not in a Kli Rishon. So this means, if your soup in your Kli Sheni is Yad Soledet, so then you can't put your challah in. My son likes to put his challah in his soup on Friday night. So either he waits till the soup's cooled down, or he scoops out soup with his spoon, holds it and pours it over his challah. Then it's Irui from Kli Sheni. So you raised the question of the Shkete Marak, the Heilige Shkete Marak.
Yeah, the Shehapur one, that's not the...
So my... So let's see. Shemirat Shabbat Kilchata. Shkete Marak or Itriot Mutuganot, B'Shemen, Hanim Karok, B'Shem Mukhanot La'achila. Mutar Lateit Otan Afinu B'Kli Rishon. Why? These are they're deep fried. Croutonim. Classic croutons. You know, where you take toast and put butter or oil on it, whatever, they're not cooked. So that would be that would definitely be a problem. So just want to finish with the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Mem Bet, where it says Vasuli Tein Pat. Very important Mishnah Berurah. Hosif Bazed Din Acher Vatam Disfira Lideas. Yesh Tovar Mishnah Mitbashlin Afilu Bikli Sheni. Right. So there are some things which are Mitbashel in Kli Sheni. So it seems to be not just an issue of Mechseikim of Ashel, adding in another, there are some things that are what we call Kale Habishel, the equivalent of the Kulias HaIspanin. Kulias HaIspanin, that's with Bashel, even just with Hadacha. That was that fish, right? You've got some things which are Kale Habishel, which they're not Kulias HaIspanin, but they will cook in a Kli Sheni. Mipnei Shein Rakim. Problem is, we don't know what they are. So basically, the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll see more about this on another occasion, the Mishnah Berurah holds that basically, unless we know that it's something which is regarded as kasher and doesn't cook in a Kli Sheni, we have to regard it as Kale HaBishul. Others look at it a bit differently and say, no, unless we know that it's Kale HaBishul, it's not a problem in Kli Sheni. The Mishnah Berurah is being machmir. But we'll see that there's certainly rooms, but the Avad to be Meikel. So Ad Kan for tonight.